Well, hey folks, Mark DiMatteo coming at you this evening with a message going out to our great questions group. Actually, on this sixth day of May 2012, and the title of our message today is Lessons from Star Trek Part 1. Lessons from Star Trek Part 1. It's actually our 14th message since the beginning of our Great Questions group, and I trust this finds everybody doing well. And let me just, as a reminder, let you know that if you happen to be new to our broadcasts and would like some more information on our Great Questions group, you are welcome to visit my blog site, which is real simple. It's markdematteo.com, markdematteo.com, or DeMatteo. And additionally, you will also find all of our previously recorded audio messages uploaded there. So if you are new and you want to be able to catch up with us, you are able to do so. Also, mentioned to you all that I'd set up a new email, which is real simple. It's mark@markdematteo.com. And I'm going to begin using that in the context of this group. So please make sure that that's added to your database so that you continue to receive the messages. I don't think there's going to be any issues there at all, but I'm going to start broadcasting the messages via that email next time I send out a general message. I'll also remind you of that at the end of this one as well. But okay, so all right, let's get rolling here with the actual message. And folks, actually, in our last message, we discussed the power of our imaginations and our mind's ability to envision realities that were far beyond the realm of normal Earth life. We also talked about this being rather significant in light of the law of cause and effect, especially in consideration of the fact that it seems to be indeed a universal effect. In this message, I'm going to bear this out by sharing with you another little piece of my background, along with some insight I gleaned from being a bit of a Star Trek fan, especially in my younger years, okay? I think you'll find it interesting, and it will even give you a little historical perspective, so here we go. Actually, ever since I became aware of it as a child, I have been fascinated with space, as in outer space. In fact, the more I learn about it, the more intrigued I become or became, okay? Past, present, and currently. As a matter of fact, it has been called the final physical frontier. The more we have learned about it and its seemingly endless vastness and wonders, the further it has challenged the very limits of man's powers of comprehension. In fact, we are going to return in another message and try to consider, if we can just briefly, the sheer size and construct of our universe. For it is indeed an overwhelmingly and absolutely astounding effect, and one which clearly cries out for a rational explanation as to its cause. But for right now, let's continue with our discussion at hand. When I was growing up, the space age was just coming into its own. This included the dawn of manned spaceflight, and along with it, the promise of a glorious future of traveling the cosmos to the distant planets and stars. I remember as a 9-year-old watching the Apollo 11 lunar landing mission and the first men actually walking on the moon. It really was an exciting time to be alive, as there seemed to be this newfound sense of hope for the future that this reach for the cosmos was creating in everyone. Seeing this whole new arena of potential space exploration open up, I actually pursued the goal of becoming an astronaut for a period of time, as did some of my friends. Additionally, a number of us got interested in model rockets, which also gained a huge following as a hobby back in the 70s and early 80s because of the space program. In fact, my dad and I still have some rockets to this day. And interestingly, I still remember most of the basic scientific principles behind solid propellant rocket flight and recovery that I learned as a young teenager. I can still recall how amped I got, even at that young age, when I realized that I could actually apply some of the math and science I was trying to learn in school to the rockets I was actually building and flying with my dad. It put learning into a totally different context. In fact, as a little aside, it seems like back then, a lot more of our hobbies and pastimes weren't just about having fun, they were also about learning something too. Anyway, the bottom line is, it seemed like the whole country, if not most of the world, was all getting caught up in the space travel dream of the future, and any small thing we could do to try to be a part of it, we were up for. Now, additionally, along with all this, not surprisingly, I loved anything that had to do with science fiction, as long as it wasn't too weird, okay? I was never into the really scary stuff, the really, really weirded out stuff. Still am not, okay? But anyway, this, of course, had to include Star Trek. While there have been others before it, Trek was probably the first widely watched mainstream sci-fi series. Whether you've ever seen it or not, you've probably heard of it and probably also have a pretty good idea generally of what it's all about. Keeping things real simple here, for there were multiple series, versions, and movies, the main underlying theme involves different crews on various starships, the primary one, of course, being the Enterprise, and the various fanciful adventures they encounter while exploring the galaxy. The show became amazingly popular, as it naturally fit perfectly into the context of these new, quote, space age times, and portrayed a future reality, at least on one level, that many of us hoped might one day be possible. And just to touch on just how popular it really became, it is interesting to note that just about a week ago, with much fanfare, the original test vehicle for the Space Shuttle program was ferried aboard the back of NASA's Special 747 from Dulles International Airport right here in Northern Virginia up to its new permanent residence up in New York. Now, check this out. NASA was originally going to call this first shuttle the Constitution, but so many Trek fans wrote in protesting back in the mid-70s that they, as we all know now, actually named her Enterprise instead after the show's famed starship. In fact, NASA invited the original Star Trek creator, cast, and some of the crew to attend her rollout in 1976 as VIPs. Ah, some pretty cool stuff, okay? In fact, I still feel some of the emotion and excitement from all this coming back as I remember this time in my life. Now, while I do confess that I was indeed a Trek fan for quite some time, I am yet still not necessarily promoting the shows or movies to everyone, and I'm certainly not endorsing all of the messages portrayed in them either. However, because I have seen many of the episodes, and actually all of the movies over the years, and have always had the great questions in the back and sometimes the forefront of my mind, I have picked up on and noted themes that I might not have paid much attention to otherwise. Consequently, I have drawn some interesting observations from my vicarious voyages through the cosmos with the Enterprise and a few of the other later starships from the series. Observations, in fact, that support the premise that mankind's most deep-seated concerns, needs, and desires, along with our ability to not only imagine higher realities, but also to desire them as well, is most assuredly a universal condition. For if they were not, then the general concept of the show would not have resonated with as many folks as it did, and it would not have become as enormously popular as it has, even still to this day. See, let us remember that the entire underlying theme of Star Trek is primarily one of fantasy. While there are many aspects that deal with normal human issues of existence, and the first two of the four levels of imagination we talked about in the last message, the bulk of the entire plot from start to finish engages in imagination on the third and fourth levels. Much of the show incorporates dimensions of reality that no one has ever experienced, and furthermore, aren't even possible in the current context of our existence. So, now that I have properly set the stage, when we come back together for part two of this message, I'm going to get into the lessons I want to share with you, focused in the context of the great questions. So, as we conclude, let me just remind you once again to make sure you have that new email, mark@markdimaddio.com, added to your database. And until next time, you folks have a great week. Always a pleasure chatting with y'all, and look forward to next time. Okay, take care. Bye-bye now, folks.